Welcome back, MGTOW Men. I know I promised to have a sunrise-themed video upload based on my last two videos, but yesterday was a full day for me, working 10 to 11 hours. I wasn't able to sit down and hash out the video for today yet, so I'm recording it now. And thank you once again for everyone that has commented and left such encouraging emails. YouTube has demonetized probably like two-thirds of my videos, but I really couldn't care less because the outpouring in the comment section in the email department is what truly... is the benefit, and it is truly amazing, and I want to express that before I go into today's video. Essentially, what I'm saying is that I want to be as grateful as Job was, and I never will be, but regardless of the strife, I want to be as grateful. And so the story of Job, and once again, whether or not you believe anything about the Bible, it has a lot to say about MGTOW. It has a lot to say about going your own way as a man and about female nature. And so the story of Job appears in the Old Testament, and it is a story that focuses on one man, Job, for those of you who aren't familiar. Job had everything. He was described to be one of the wealthiest men, maybe the wealthiest, and let's call him the Jeff Bezos of the Bible. He had 10 children, and what sounds insane, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys. I can't even fathom it. And I'll give a brief background as to what Job encountered in the narrative of the story, but here is the one verse that we're really going to focus on today. And so Job had everything, and out of a test that God and Satan had arranged, Satan destroyed everything he owned. He killed his children. He destroyed all the property. He eventually cursed Job's body, giving him boils and sores. Then in Job 2:9, he receives the fateful words from his wife. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." Okay, curse God and die. Let that ring, okay? With an exclamation point. His wife didn't just make the statement lightly. She made it as a forceful command. She made it with blazing exclamation, albeit she would have been distressed. We have to take this into account, and I want to make sure we all know this before I start talking about the text. She would have been crushed. I would never comprehend that feeling of losing 10 kids. But the video also isn't just about Job's wife, men. This is about Job himself. Do you know what he proceeds to say in verse 2:10? "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin. So how many of us would hold on to our integrity in moments like this? I know I probably wouldn't have. So today's MGTOW sermon not only looks at Job's wife, it looks at Job's response. And before I get too far along, I want to draw a parallel to the modern day woman that leaves the man when things are down, as she wanted to. She didn't want to just leave. She wanted him to die and to curse all that he had valued and his most precious thing, integrity. When he is kid cutting down and out, she would leave him and question him. Look at what happened with Job. He lost everything except his life. And while we don't know if the wife stayed with Job or not, even though he had kids later in life, maybe it was with a different woman, how much more quickly will that woman leave you today? You may have lost a job, not gotten the newest car, lost that cut body for a softer, still athletic build that you once had in college. But how much more are they likely to jump ship today? And just remind yourself of that, okay? And so the first thing we're going to look at is we're going to focus on the negative woman. I can't believe. Can't you just say things suck for once? You can't always be so positive. So this is what I've heard uttered to me before. And men, how many of us had a woman that is not supportive of us, and is not only not supportive of us, but has a worldview that is shrouded in a tainted hue that we know is pure pessimism? And feminism also breeds pessimism. And so even if that girl that you're dating is not inherently outwardly feminist and shrouded by feminism, she will probably be slightly influenced and slightly pessimistic. And I've found that many women, especially women in relationships, don't want their men to be positive in moments of distress. When the distress comes, they either leave physically or they leave emotionally as women. And I'm going to expound upon a moment from my life and my dating experience. Both of my ex-girlfriends carried a lot of baggage into their lives that I won't get into out of respect for confidentiality over that stuff. But as a result, they were exceedingly more negative about many things. And so one day, I think that my ex and I we just pulled an all-nighter. We were up all night taking care of things for finals. And she's not only fretting about that experience, obviously, but the things in the future and some of the ghosts in her past that she'd still been kicking around. And in her mind, she probably felt like Job, no sleep too. And often in these moments of defeat, all we want to hear from somebody is a comforting word, the statement that life sucks and I hope it gets better for you. So I try to be consoling. I always try to be positive. I hate being negative. And as I always do with people, I try to emphasize that things are going to be okay. You will be okay. You'll soon forget about these moments. It's not a big deal. It's going to be a year from now, and you'll forget you had this day. And this is when she says, as I stated before, I can't believe you. Can't you just say things suck for once? You can't always be so positive. And while studies have shown that women's brains are more sensitive to negative emotions than men, and they inherently respond differently to negativity, as according to Medical Daily, which I'll link below, this goes into one of the elements of energy vampirism from women that I've come across. They want to be, and they want you to be, at their level. And men, when you come home from work and things are going well, you're excited, you've accomplished something new maybe, I don't know what it is, you want to get a beer, some wings, watch the game that night, I don't know what you want to do, and just enjoy her company. But you're not able to, because your joy can't be your joy if she's been defeated elsewhere in life. And that's what I've found. There always has to be this equity that she creates. You almost have to hide your joy. It's like going to the grocery store. You can't tell her. She's going to, when you're stopping home from work, she's going to make you ever get everything that you don't want to get. That's frivolous. And this comes to an imbalance of power in a woman's mind. If an emotion or an action, even an interest, is independently fueled apart from something that she hasn't generated, then she doesn't want you to own it. It expresses independence on your part. And this is especially endangering, not endangering, but if you're producing for a woman, a feminist woman, and normally in Job's time, a man would not care. And that's what we have to learn from part two here, is men, if you're in a relationship, your emotional output and mood is going to be tested. And women often find it more attractive if you're negative, if you've got a bit of anger in you, anger, testosterone, that represents a man in the mind of a modern day woman, not meekness, as I emphasized. We don't want passivity, men, and we don't want raging lunacy either. We want the meekness. But women, they don't really want that meekness. So what do you want more? Okay? And the backbone, guys, number two, the backbone to value your integrity more than pleasing a woman is far more honorable. And as he says, you were talking like a foolish woman. Do we ever hear from Job's wife again in the rest of the book, which goes on for 30 plus chapters? We don't even know her name, okay? His marriage could have been on the line now. So she, in her mind, may be on her way out. I don't know. Let's just say she is. And look at what's around me. All that I've helped build with my husband has been decimated. Not only did Job not care about this, he didn't fear that by saying this, she would definitely leave him and leave him with nothing. He valued his personal integrity more than the mood of his wife and her demands. And how many times did we get sucked into valuing her mood, and we were worrying about her mood and keeping her happy and worrying about what she thinks, and we're not focused on the problems in our own life? And looking back at my relationships, how many times out of 10 would I have said what Job said? I wouldn't have. You may be fearful. But in MGTOW, we value our personal integrity above not only the demands and commands of women, but the demands and commands of men, the ones that are not positive influences. And you need to have your antenna up. Because while there's many of, you know, great men out there in MGTOW, around us, in the rest of the world, there aren't. And if you go on to read the next chapters, 30 chapters in Job, he is met by three men that try to counsel him, and largely emphasize the same things that his wife alluded to, negativity, and preach that Job has been cursed. And Job does not believe him. He goes his own way, not only from his wife, he goes his own way from poor counsel. And because while in MGTOW we primarily focus on the misleading nature of female influence in relationships, you have to remove the male parasites as well. Don't forget this, guys, because those male parasites exist. They've existed in my life. And they could exist as a friend of yours. They could be that blue pill white knight that shames you. They could be that someone that leeches off your money or your apartment. They could be a bad influence for you college guys, endorsing day drinking and blunt blazing during a Wednesday afternoon or evening when you should be out making improvements, studying, reading, working out, going to work. Troubles will come, guys. Troubles will go. Are you going to create more trouble by adding and not removing people from your life that you need to jettison? Don't do it. Speak as Job did. Call out the parasites. Because what androgyny and false domestic and verbal abuse claims have created is the notion that we can't call a woman foolish. When do you hear this today? You don't. Is there a single Western sitcom in which Ray Romano or Kevin James is calling out the wife and saying, snap out of your foolishness? No, it's always the other way around. And just because society is skewing how we should respond to women doesn't mean we have to take that approach. And men, go your own way, call out that woman, snap her back into it, all right? And the third point I'm going to make here, they're going to leave you when you're down and out, okay? Snapping her back into it is needed because the moral backbone on many women, not all, is weaker. They need a leader. They respond to a leader. And more flexible backbone than a man does. Not in a good way. The man is bent to be based on personal integrity. That's where his value rests. And the Bible emphasizes that man is the male leader, is as a male leader, has to emphasize that integrity as well. And Job held the authority of the household, yet she still thought she held the emotional authority in the relationship. So this connects to the transience and inherent waywardness of Job's wife, in which personal integrity is only something that is acted out on when it's convenient. And so obviously there are representatives in the Bible of steadfast women, but a commitment to something difficult and long-term for the sake of being prudent and persevering is rarity. So both of my girlfriends, they didn't want me to go to church until they lost interest in me and started shaming me for how I acted because I did not go anymore. And so, but in the beginning, they viewed my faith as a barrier between me and her, as there was a buffer between us. They didn't have complete control, and I wasn't sold out to please her every whim. I was owned by something else. And Job's wife doesn't care for her husband's integrity. Thus, she doesn't care for her own. And men, this relates to the modern woman that has helped create the idea of no-fault divorce. So, what have you done for me lately, is the mentality. And how much more quickly are women to leave men today because of that, okay? Just one small negative change. How much more quickly? Look at this dichotomy. She was still around when Job lost his money, his health, and his children. But look at that today. The man is solely valued as a business transaction. And what makes you think she is even going to stick around when you didn't get that job? So I've had exes say, I'm going to leave you if you didn't get that internship, not just the job, an internship. I'm going to leave you if you lose this or that. And ultimatums are instead made today. And the transience of a woman's heart is a frightening thing, men. And you most likely won't even reach that point of Job in your life. So Job played the long game through men, and it ended up being blessed and double after he made it through the strife and the trials. But you know who was never mentioned? His wife. He had to go to men, his brothers, for the emotional support that he needed. As the coldness and the disconnection, as I found, that has been built into the socially engineered feminist today, has no time to console the man because of her view of a man as one is egotistical, overpowered, and innately doesn't need that support, and both of which are wrong. But all of this is to say, don't expect for the marriage vows connoting support through thick and thin to reign true. As Job did, your personal integrity has to be your own, and that personal integrity is what gets you through. And so regardless if you view the Bible from a Christian or non-Christian perspective, everyone is welcome to comment, to share, to take part in the forum that you have all created. And regardless of your opinion, there's much to be gleaned here, and I want to emphasize that for everyone. Take these red pills into the rest of your day. I know that you have a lot of work to get to, as do I, things to attend to, but the one thing that we can always choose to do is hold on to our integrity. And that's what I want to get out of this ultimately, to look forward positively. And we don't need another woman's voice telling us that we should discard the one truth that we can control in life, because you can't control things at work, you can't control things at school, you can't control things in your health sometimes, but you can control that, and you don't need that to be sucked away. So brothers, take advantage of today, learn something new. If you have some free time, slow down, please. Life's busy. It's hectic. I'd love to hear from you. Do my best to get back to everyone that I can. Please reach out directly to me, sunrisehoodie@gmail.com, or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie as well. I want this channel to be one that you can approach me through. I don't want to be a distant voice. So it's a gloomy day today. Perfect for a hoodie. Hoodie's up, hoodie's out.